In 1985, newspapers reported the finding of a manuscript of Handel's Messiah in the basement of the Royal Irish Academy of Music. It had been concealed by a former archivist and its presence forgotten. The reason for the secrecy was an ink stamp on the cover of the manuscript. It declared the manuscript to be the property of Mercer's Hospital in Dublin. Creasa McAllister, a medical student at Dalhousie University, decided that she wanted to find out more about Messiah and Mercer's Hospital. And she spent the summer in Dublin searching for information about the manuscript. She never found it, but she did discover much about the story of the first performance of Handel's Messiah, which took place in Dublin.
It is the spring of 1742. George Frederick Handel sits down at the organ of Dublin St. Michan's Church to run through his latest oratorio. It is entitled Messiah. He knew it would become his masterpiece of masterpieces, the work by which he would be remembered. But he has not yet decided where and how it should have its premiere. It is well known that the first performance of Handel's Messiah took place in Dublin in 1742. What is not well known is why he chose Dublin and the circumstances surrounding Messiah's premiere. Dublin is a city of incredible history whose buildings and monuments tell stories of war, famine, and independence, but also art and culture. With infamous playwrights, poets, and artists, such as Swift, Wilde, Joyce, and Yeats, Dublin is definitely a city of discovery. I went to investigate Handel's first visit to Dublin in the archives of the National Library, Trinity College Library, and Marsh's Library. One morning, I biked over to Kevin Street to find Marsh's Library, not far from the city centre. Marsh's is Ireland's oldest public library, founded in 1701 by the Archbishop of Dublin. Once governed by Dean Jonathan Swift, it is located within the grounds of St. Patrick's Cathedral and is preserved as a 17th century scholar's library. I walked up the staircase to a great oak door and was greeted by the keeper. There I discovered walls of dark oak bookcases, packed to the towering ceilings with thousands of precious volumes. Even the 300-year-old cages, once used to lock in readers with rare books, are still preserved. At Marsh's, I discovered accounts of Handel's visit to Dublin. Having just arrived in Dublin for the first time that past November 1741, Handel spent the winter musical season by presenting a series of successful subscription concerts of his other works, all of which were very well received. His own letters are preserved and published in Deutsch's documentary biography of Handel, a book that I discovered in Dublin's National Library.
Dublin, December 29th, 1741. Dear Mr. Jennings, the nobility did me the honor to make among themselves a subscription for 6 nights, which did fill a room of 600 persons, so that I needed not sell one single ticket at the door. And without vanity, the performance was received with a general approbation.
In Dublin, Handel quickly established his reputation as an outstanding composer and performer amongst the local nobility. However, his success in Dublin was much greater than in London. Handel's earlier years in London were not very prosperous. He mostly composed Italian operas, which were suitable to English taste. Often he composed these operas with particular soloists in mind. One such soloist, the Italian soprano Senesino, was wildly popular with the English, but not with Handel. Eventually, Handel refused to compose for Senesino altogether. The English nobility took notice. It then became quite fashionable to deem Handel's works unworthy of attention.
Lady Brown, a well-known member of the aristocracy, is remembered as having distinguished herself as a persevering enemy to Handel and a protectress to foreign musicians in general of the new Italian style, and was the first person of fashion who had the courage, at the risk of her windows, to have concerts on a Sunday evening.
Unfortunately, this newfound opposition placed a growing financial burden on Handel. He wasn't paid well for his large-scale orchestral performances. During this difficult period, Handel began to seek higher themes of inspiration and decided to dedicate his life solely to sacred music and the oratorio. Messiah, Handel's most successful oratorio, was composed entirely within the space of 23 days. In August of 1741, Charles Jennens, a librettist, sent the newly compiled arrangement of the scriptures to Handel. By September 14th of that year, Messiah was complete. Shortly after this, Handel fled London for Dublin without notice. Even Mr. Jennens, his collaborator and close friend, was surprised to hear of his departure.
I heard with great pleasure at my arrival in town that Handel had set the oratorio of Messiah. But it was with some mortification to me to hear that instead of performing it here, he was gone into Ireland with it. However, I hope we shall hear it when he comes back.
In Dublin, Handel subscription concerts are performed to full houses, as the movement of fashion in London has little reach or effect on the people of Dublin. Handel is received with all possible marks of esteem and admiration. The newly built hall, Neil's Music Hall, where Handel performed his music, is on Fishamble Street, one of the oldest streets in Dublin and a place for the genteel and the wealthy.
It was the festive resort of the wealthy and refined. Ladies in hoops and feathers and white-gloved, and swords and chapeau, with scores of liveried footmen and pages, and the press of coaches and chariots and sedan chairs.
In the hopes of finding Neil's Music Hall, I ventured through Dublin to find Fishamble Street, just up from the River Liffey. To my disappointment, the only acknowledgement of this historic site is a plaque bolted onto the wall of a Handel hotel. Difficult to imagine that this was once a place for entertaining the nobility. Handel is overwhelmed by his popularity in Dublin and decides that the first performance of Messiah should take place on the 13th of April, 1742, in Neil's Music Hall, with the rehearsal to be held the preceding week. His reputation in Dublin is well established before he announces Messiah's performance date. He also ensures satisfactory results by bringing the performers with him to Dublin. Signora Avoglio, an Italian soprano, Miss Sibbers, an English mezzo-soprano, and an organist, Mr. McLean. Despite having brought this excellent organist with him, Handel advertised in Dublin Faulkner's Journal that he would play the organ himself on the opening night.
Dear Mr. Jennens, Signora Avoglio, which I brought with me from London, pleases extraordinarily. I have formed another tenor voice, which gives great satisfaction. The basses and countertenors are very good, and the rest of the chorus singers, by my direction, do exceedingly well. As for the instruments, they are really excellent. Mr. Duberg being at the head of them, and the music sounds delightful in this charming room, which puts me in such spirits, and my health being so good, that I exert myself on my organ with more than usual success.
Handel arranged to donate the proceeds of Messiah's first performance to three charities: the Society for Relieving Prisoners, the Charitable Infirmary, and Mercer's Hospital. In the years following his first visit to Dublin, Handel would continue to donate his score of Messiah and allow performances of his music for the benefit of numerous charitable foundations. This, I discovered, partially explains why Messiah is now performed at Christmas instead of Easter. First started in Dublin, it was changed to further benefit charitable foundations. I also discovered that William Boyce, an 18th century organist and composer at Chapel Royal in London, rearranged parts of Messiah as a Christmas anthem. Not long after, London musical societies began performing Messiah at Christmas, a tradition that has spread across the world.
Oh,
Carissa McAllister will be back tomorrow just after the 8 o'clock news with part two of her story about Handel and his masterpiece. Nigel Bennett is the actor you heard this morning playing all of the roles. And a special thanks to Larry McLean, the organist at St. David's Presbyterian Church, for his performance of the Messiah Overture.